EBC 1 is on the air. Nigel Green reading. At 1830 hours GMT, children, do you know where your parents are? But first, live from America, Steve Tavares is Angry Podcast.
I am here to run a police department, not a frat house.
Unfortunately, she's been diagnosed with a brain tumor.
That's not a U.S. president. Okay. That's just the prime minister of Russia defending the president of Russia.
What do you want me to lock everybody up? What is that going to solve?
I am a very ethical person.
I have many Filipino friends. Our children grew up eating rice.
Right. I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Now, if you shoot a little flim, you got a problem.
Mr. Congressman, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Thank you. I would dignify you by peeing on your leg. I don't. It wouldn't be worth wasting the urine. But...
Broadcasting from the city of homes and beaches, Steve Tavares is angry.
Wow, everybody. Welcome back. Last week, premiere week, 4 episodes of the Steve Tavares is Angry podcast. Big, big time support. Big ratings. Bigger. Let me tell you what. I always knew this was the fact that the old East Bay Citizen podcast, which was focused on, you know, a guest, you know, Rob Bonta speaks for 25 minutes and we just chat, have a conversation. And while very illuminating and interesting, boring. And after a while, you know, Libby Schaff, boring. This actually was the lowest rated ever. People, I thought it was good and interesting, but I think people were like, again? I saw a lady on Channel 2. I saw a lady on Channel 5. I saw a lady in the Chronicle. I saw a lady here. Neek, 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 neek. Enough, Steve. So switched it around this time where, you know, I got to be me. And so big ratings. Thank you very much. Let's talk real quick and I'll get to the breakdown, which is going to be about my hometown. But let's talk about election coming up. How about in Hayward where, and we talked about this last week too, Mayor Barbara Halliday is up for re-election against a council member, Mark Salinas. This is the second time to be going at it. So I go on Twitter and I see Mark Salinas' feed and he posts this announcement, you know, like you're seeing a lot from a lot of people announcing, I am qualified, I am in the election, you know, in it to win it, good to go, whatever. Let's do this. Give me money. And so I'm looking at that picture and I was like, holy smokes, that guy just did a Rokana. Meaning, look at this picture and this don't look right. Is it like, is something wrong with my phone? Is the lighting? Do I need to bring that down? Because it's so bright. I mean, is it too bright? What's going on with this picture? They straight up make Mark Salinas look white. I can't believe it. They did a Rokana. They made him look white. You're looking at this guy, it's like, I mean, he's Latino, man. He has a definitely brown, kind of reddish kind of skin color. I usually figured it's a high blood pressure, but that's not what he looks like. You look at it, and it's like, holy smoke. He looked like they Botoxed him on his eyes on Photoshop, too. I was like, holy moly. So, like, back in when Ro Khanna ran for Congress in 2004 against Tom Lantos, which he lost, and he was only like 27 years old, that campaign... you know, a couple years ago, they told me that he told them I'm too dark. And so, and you can actually see, if you go on the Wayback Machine, you can see his website and you see the picture at the top. He definitely looks whiter. Mr. Indian American hero, was too dark. He thought for people in San Mateo. So he had the campaign lighten his skin. That's what they did with Mark Salinas. I'm like, what is going on with that? Anyway, in Oakland, I'm telling you, Libby Schaff, better watch out. She's up for re-election. Pamela Price got a video out. She ran for Alameda County District Attorney in June, like 60 days ago, right? And she ran a good campaign, and she's back on it because she did very well in Alameda County in Oakland. She did very well. She just whooped
Nancy O'Malley in Oakland. So she's hoping that translates to this race because, you know, same stuff. They're going to be talking about the same stuff. It's the same issue that she was talking about. So it might work. And let me tell you, let me tell you, there's a video out. There's a video she opened with on Tuesday. It's excellent. She doesn't even say Libyshaf, but it's over and over showing video of tent cities all over Oakland. You don't even have to say Libyshaf. You're thinking Libyshaf. It's genius. It's very well done. And so what I learned is that Katie Merrill, who's a veteran political consultant, you know, not just around here, but pretty much like statewide also, and she's going up against Libby's guy, Ace Smith. I'm going to name his Ace. Ace. Got to be good. His name's Ace. But I'm telling you what, if Katie Merrill was on the DA Price campaign early on and was honing that message like she did at the end, it would have been real close. I don't know if she still would have beat Nancy O'Malley, but it would be really close. She's that good. And you can see right here, she's going to be from the beginning in the mayor's race for Pamela Price. That is top-notch tone, the visuals. And again, I've said it. I'm going to harp on a lot of things. I'm going to say a lot of things over and over because it's very important. But Pamela Price is the good thing. She may be tired. But she was just in a race. And she still got the chops. And so she's flexing. She's coming out strong. She don't need to work out. This is not spring training like it's going to be for Libyshaf. She is ready opening day right now. You watch that video and you'll see it. Over in Alameda, hey, today, Wednesday, it's the beginning of debate season. And I wish they were debates, but candidate forum season. So if you just love that stuff and even you don't even live in Alameda, go to the Elks Lodge right by City Hall, right by Park Street. Alameda mayoral forum and endorsement from the Alameda Democratic Club. So it's going to be a good race. So we're going to see just exactly how council member Marilyn Easy Ashcraft and Frank Matarese think they're going to run the city better than Trish Herrera Spencer, the incumbent. And if you don't know, the part where it says rice, white rice, that's the mayor. So despite comments like that, she's still favored. And while we're talking about Alameda, big loss. They need a city manager and very well-respected person who is the point person for Alameda Point, the former Alameda Naval Air Station, Jennifer Ott. All of a sudden, the city of Hayward announced today that she's going there in the middle of September, becoming the deputy city manager. What is going on? What are they doing? Why aren't they on that? They need a city manager. She would have been perfect. Obviously, she wanted some kind of job like that. Big loss. What's going on? The opponents of the status quo progressives in Alameda, they come up with a lot of stupid stuff for reasonings why, you know, they should, you know, birth certificates. But I'd use that because that's pertinent. Jennifer Ott, big loss for Alameda. Anyway, let's get to the breakdown. Breakdown's all right. So some of you may know that I am East Bay, right? I've lived in many places, Oakland, Hayward, San Leandro, Alameda, but my heart was born in Castro Valley, born and raised Castro Valley High, Canyon Middle School, Chabot Elementary. I fell out of a truck when I was like 3 years old, right by the golf land. I didn't even know how to speak language, and my dad was going to hide it that I fell out the truck, and somehow I go home over there, Stanton School, where we grew up. And somehow I told him my dad. I put language together somehow. He was busted. But anyway, I always keep tabs on the hometown, you know. And it's not a city. It's what I call Nate Miley Stan in unincorporated Alameda County. They want to be a city. They, you know, what are they supposed to do, right? You want your own self-determination. You want to get something done, you do it. You don't want somebody at the county level, who's not necessarily always going to be paying attention to that little portion of his district, which is Nate Miley, right? He's the Oakland guy, and that's the biggest part. So does he have the time? Does he really want to pay attention to Castro Valley? No, but he has some power there, right? Nate Miley Stan. So I was very, very bothered what happened here at this, what was basically the de facto city council of Castro Valley, right? the Municipal Advisory Committee, the MAC. It's just, and again, along with the Nate Miley Stan fiefdom idea, this MAC is not elected. They want it, people in Castro Valley want it to be elected, but it's not. It's appointed. It's advisory. It's appointed. Very little power is ascribed to these people. Yet there's one person who just is absolutely crazy on power. And he's a guy that I call the Mighty Mullet, Mark Crawford. He's a developer in there, construction. He's a big Nate Miley contributor over the years. He is, get this, and this is why you say, Steve, what do I care about Castro Valley? I live in Hayward. I live in Oakland. I live in Alameda. You should pay attention because this guy is what, because this guy has connections to the California Apartment Association and other landlord groups. There's a guy like Mark Crawford in Alameda, actually probably two or three. There's many in Oakland. These guys who operate under the table, who get stuff done. Maybe it's legal. Maybe it's not. But a lot of their power and how they get things done is their proximity to power. And in Mark Crawford's case, it's Nate Miley. And this guy has brought a lot of controversy to Castro Valley, which leads you to wonder, like, why does Nate Miley keep this guy? Doesn't this guy create a lot more problems for Nate Miley? Why does Nate Miley need all this headache of, you know, the his fiefdom, his peasants in Castro Valley with pitchforks? You know, this guy, Mark Robert, he did this. Why does he need it? It's a real good question. But at the Monday MAC meeting, I saw something shocking. The most shocking thing, this guy loves to be the chair of the MAC so much that he pulled some political skullduggery in order to keep it. So I can back up to June when they were going to pick a new chair. And he must have been assuming he was going to just be reappointed by the board. One person named Dave Sadoff, who was actually an elected official. He's in the Castro Valley Sanitary District and also on the MAC, appointed by Nate Miley. Well, Sadoff thought, well, we have bylaws now that said we shouldn't have somebody on the MAC being the chair for consecutive terms. Hello. And guess what? This guy, Mark Crawford, he hasn't been reappointed to the seat. His term ended in May. So they just elected somebody who's maybe not even going to be appointed. Or will he? So last June, they say, I'm going to move to pick another person. And, ooh, man, that was going to blow everything up, apparently. The hem and haw, they come back and say, they hem and haw, and Mark Crawford says, well, guess what? You know what? This being the chair, it's a lot more work, a lot more extra work, lots more. Did I say lots? It's a lot more work. So this fool comes back on Monday and he's prompted by saying this.
Me to come up with a list of what is it I do presently over and above the three meetings a month, which what I came up with was basically 4 hours a month in phone communications and voice and text with supervisor staff. Paul can affirm that number for me. Yeah, I'm trying not to exaggerate. 2 hours a month in phone calls with applicants and residents of Castro Valley, just on various issues.
It's just incredible. Can you imagine delineating by hours each month, residents, all these little things? These all sound like things that he's supposed to be doing. I mean, shouldn't you be having meetings with the supervisor? And how would you, why is that any more than, you know, any other person, you know, could do, and why can't others do it, right? And how about the things he left off, right? What about the 4 hours feathering his mullet?
That can go 2 hours. I have a monthly meeting with a CHP.
And things that are missing there, I would say if he's going to do extra, he should do like, you know, 8 hours a month extra in trying to figure out why there hasn't been sidewalks in some place at Castro Valley since I was 8 years old.
That process, so I look through those,
which would be 1983.
Can you guys take the discussion?
So,
excuse me, can you guys take the discussion out in the hallway, please? Then there's about 2 hours a month in on-site meetings with applicants.
So then this Sadoff, he has something to say. And, you know,
with county staff,
he just wants to, you know, come out clean and say what he's got to say. He's not, you know, he knows he's not going to win this, and Crawford's going to be has the votes, and he's going to be the chair. But he just wants to say his piece.
Going forward, I'm hoping that we can get cultivate people to be brought into the chair position.
And then here's what is the most amazing, shocking. This is abuse of power in its purest form. The only problem is that technically Mark Crawford has no power. But somehow he does, right? Or else why does he care so much? Why is he putting all this extra hours in? Right? These are questions like, we don't know. We don't know. It does seem a little fishy.
Okay. So under Chair's report, one of the things I do want to announce is there's been a number of complaints about Councilmember Sadoff simultaneously serving on the CV Sandboard and the Castro Valley MAC. And I'm going to ask County Council to look into that, because I think that the offices are incompatible, and I think that state law will prove that to be the case.
Did you notice the use? There's many people complaining. Many people complain about this Sadoff, and maybe he has a conflict of interest, right? Many people. Who's that sound like, right? There's many people think I'm a great, great businessman. Many people don't believe there's collusion. Russia. Like, who are these many people, right? This has never been a problem. So what I had culled from other people when talking about this, what happened here, is that he apparently had been talking earlier in the day that he was going to play this card if he had to, and sure enough, he did.
The timing of Mr. Crawford's threat to try to remove me from the MAC is curious at best. In my mind, it's retribution. You had time before to bring this up, but days after I had nominated someone other than you is when you went on the offensive against me.
Okay, well, everyone's entitled to their opinion. Any other comments?
But then the lady at the end, a former Castro Valley School Board member who's now was appointed to the MAC, she couldn't take it. She left. But not before. This is what's funny. She said, "Oh, you're gonna attack Sadoff Crawford? Well, guess what? Maybe I'm going to attack you." Now they're all attacking each other.
So your movement to try to send a letter to County Council really is now going to put me in a different light of saying maybe I need to send the letter to County Council on some of the issues that I have here. So I think that I was trying to take a very gracious and polite move and say nothing, but I'm appalled at the behavior that you express here and the toxic environment that you create. And I know you have support of other council members because they think you do a great job. But I think you do a great job because you don't allow anybody else to do anything on the council.
So this is very I don't know what's going on. We had some crazy stuff happen to Livermore City Council. You see on the East Bay Citizen, you have like council members in Hayward playing some tricks with, potential candidates in the elections. In Union City, they messed with a council member named Harris Mojadidi. They played so there's this people are trying to use. So whereas before people would try to mess with, new blood coming in or people who are going to, be a danger to their personal interests, they used to do that undercover. Now, I guess you just do it brazenly, because this Crawford dude didn't even wait a minute. It's like, you're going to try to take my chair. Boom. I'm going to get you. But as I said before, the problem is not the abuse of power as in normal cases when you'd see it as an elected official. This is a question of why does this guy, Mark Crawford, care so much to consolidate so much? In this case, knowledge is power, of course, and that's what his power he's amassed. Is he making moves on his self-interest? Meanwhile, subscribe to the Steve Tavares' Angry Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, or you can continue checking it out on ebcitizen.com. And also, this, I hate to say this, but so we're at the beginning of a big election season. Nobody's going to cover anything. Like, I guarantee you. You can donate at paypal.me/EastBayCitizen. Anything will help. We can get out there. Maybe I can even get another person, because I can't always be at two places at once, although it seems like sometimes at four. That's my trick. Anyway, this is Steve Tavares, and I'm angry. So should you.
This is your hometown.
4 hours a month in phone communications and voice and text with supervisor staff. Paul can affirm that number for me. Yeah, I'm trying not to exaggerate. 2 hours a month in phone calls with applicants and